KOY, monitoring 3.995. CQ, this is Kilo Alpha 8, Julia Ocean Yankee, looking for check-ins for the Wednesday night Liberty Net, the real Liberty Net. Over.
KO4F8.
Good evening, Mr. William. Good to hear you, sir.
Yeah, same here, Bob. Did want to mention I talked to Jesse tonight. He's improving. And he's still, you know, suffering the effects of his illness, but he's on the road to recovery.
Good, thank you. The last time I talked to him, I was going to send a hospice team up to his house. He sounded terrible, so I'm glad he's improving from his affliction.
Yeah, Roger, he says his wife's doing a lot better, too.
All righty. Well, thank you for the update. Appreciate it. I've got you on the list. Let me see who else I can drum up tonight. CQ's to Q. This is KAHJOY for the Wednesday night Liberty Net.
Kilo Alpha 4, Alpha Romeo.
I think I heard something like Kilo Oscar 4, Oscar Romeo. I do not have a good enough copy to figure out. I know I hear the word kilo. Mr. Bill, do you hear that station?
Just not very good. I can't improve much on what you just reported on the transmission and the identity.
All righty, the kilo station, I think the number 4 is in there. Could you say it slowly and I'll try to pull it together?
Kilo, Oscar 4, Oscar Romeo. Kilo, Oscar
4,
Lima,
Oscar Romeo. All righty, let me see if I've got it. Kilo, Oscar 4, Lima, Oscar, and a Romeo.
That's correct.
All righty, I've got you in the state of Georgia. Really difficult, but hopefully as the night goes along, it'll improve. So, Horace, thank you for jumping in there with us. Over.
All right. Stand
N4ROQ monitoring, just listening there right now, Bob.
You're not available to talk?
Not at this point. Maybe later.
All righty. I've got you down as number 4, Oleration. Put you down there around number 6 or 7.
Roger, roger.
CQ, this is KAHJOY looking for Wednesday night Liberty Net check-in. CQ, this is KAHJOY for LibertyNetRadio.org. LibertyNetRadio.org, looking for check-ins for Wednesday night. Nothing heard, so let me open the door. Good evening to all participants on the 75-meter Liberty Net tonight. This is a directed net, and I believe it is the longest-running and only current events discussion net on the amateur radio now and since the year of 1974. Founded by the late Mr. Victor W1WCR. This is the Arium net, the gold standard. Unlike the pedophile net, or the Megan's Law net. This is the gold standard. Current events and amateur radio topics are welcome, and on tonight's Reel and the Great Liberty Net. Let me start off by the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And if those who are here haven't tried so, libertynetradio.org, O-R-G. The website is up. It looks nice. Please go and look at it, and you definitely will enjoy it. Beware of the imposters. There is an imposter out there. It happens. It just happens. But this is the Liberty Net, not the Pedophile Net. So, with that being said, how about some additional check-ins for Wednesday night? Nothing heard, so let me kick it off and maybe we'll get another jump on it or not. But for those that are listening, I like to write letters to my senators about topics, and I wrote one to Sharon Brown, that's how he talks, and Rob Portman. Rob Portman is Republican, Sharon Brown is Democrat. But Rob wrote me back. The September 8th letter, I wrote him about the Second Amendment. He writes, "Thank you for contacting me about the preservation of our Second Amendment rights. As a gun owner, I firmly believe in the right to bear arms for defense of self, family, and property, and remain committed to protecting the rights of our law-abiding gun owners. I joined a number of colleagues in the Senate to co-sponsor the Constitutional Concealed Carry Reciprocation Act, I guess it's Senate Bill number 446. This legislation allows individuals with concealed carry privileges in their home state to exercise these rights in other states with carry concealed laws. Additionally, I do not support recent proposals to ban semi-automatic firearms, which I believe amounts to an unconstitutional infringement on the rights to bear arms. I have also worked in Congress to implement common sense bipartisan legislation that can make a difference right away to keep guns out of the hands of dangerous individuals. Therefore, I co-sponsored legislation authored by Senator John Cornyn, Republican of Texas, entitled 6 NICS Act, S2135. So that's the National Crime and Statistics, who keeps track of if you're a bad person and you shouldn't have a weapon, which has been signed into law. Information such as felony convictions, domestic violence, involuntary mental health commitment, and dishonorable discharges from the military were currently qualified as criteria to prohibit an individual from purchasing a firearm. Huh, interesting. Dishonorable discharge from the military. That's kind of sketchy, but unfortunately, we have seen in many past tragedies the perpetrators were able to legally buy a weapon due to the failure of this information properly being submitted to the National Institute Crime Background Check System. The purpose to fix NICS is to push state, local, and government entities to follow existing federal law and step up the reporting of this information to the FBI, well, there's a quality group, the FBI, that would disqualify individuals from passing a background check. The FBI would be the same people that think mothers are domestic terrorists for not wanting critical race theory in the school. This legislation does not restrict gun rights. It does not add any additional classes of people that would be prohibited from owning or purchasing firearms. Does not establish a federal gun registry, and additionally does not change any laws related to the types of firearms that can be purchased. Thank you for taking the time to contact my office. As a lifelong hunter and gun owner, I will continue to work to protect our constitutional freedoms and will be a strong advocate, sound like Jesse now, for preserving these rights and traditions for future generations. For more information, I encourage you to visit my website, www.portmansenate.gov. He says, sincerely, Rob Portman. So, kind of nice. I got a letter from him. So, With that being said, let me check and see if I have any check-ins before I start the night. This is KHOI with the real, the great Liberty Net. Nothing heard? Well, Mr. Bill, it's been another exciting week with news. I don't know if you've watched, but of course, Bumbling Joe has talked on TV. I'm telling you, doesn't anybody watch what he says? It's really amazing. But with that, good evening to you, Bill, and I'll pass the frequency to you.
Okay, K-A-J-O-Y, Liberty Net, KO4-F-E. Yeah, I'll tell you, Joe Biden is really amazing that he gets away with these. It's not even incompetence. I mean, he just, like, every time he gets up to speak in public, he's, like, mumbling and getting lost in his words and using inappropriate words, words that are using, I wouldn't even call them words, because sometimes he says, well, let's just call them a combination of syllables that aren't words, and there's no telling what the hell he's actually talking about. And then he forgets what he's talking about. He makes inappropriate comments. His handlers cut off his microphone. I guess if he gets bad enough, they just don't want him to talk, so they shut his microphone off. He doesn't take questions. He's up there bumbling around, doesn't know where he's at, what direction to go. You know, and I don't even need to mention, if Trump was doing 10% of this kind of stuff, the leftist media would be just all out calling for him to be removed due to mental incompetence or incapacity. But this Joe Biden, they don't care. That's where the media bias is really evident. Well, anyway, getting, of course, onto the race news, because it never stops. Every time you look on the internet, there's another outrage, a ridiculous claim, or some slanderous website that's being out there promoting one cause or another, and it's always viciously anti-white. And here's a perfect example of one. This is Gateway Pundit headline: Black History Month website labels white people as genetically defective descendants of albino mutants in taxpayer-funded ads. Yeah, the government's paying for this stuff. This is in the UK, but the same kind of garbage goes on here. Anyway, let's get into this story. As the UK celebrates its 34th year of Black History Month with a theme, Proud to Be, a taxpayer-funded advertisement featuring a prominent website labeled white people, genetically defective descendants of albino mutants. The Black History Month website that called white people genetically defective mutants has since deleted its anti-white propaganda after the Telegraph contacted them for a comment. It was later discovered that the website is managed by Ian Thomas, a white man. How ironic. You know, people all the time, you know, I've heard this line of argument used many times. Well, let's say, well, he can't be anti-white, he's white. Well, I got news, some of the most vicious anti-white activists out there are white. It's a disease like mental AIDS that gets into some white people. Well, anyway, it says the website has a long history of promoting provocative and racist content against white people. Wonder why the UK government isn't going after them for such comments. They go after white people for saying all kinds of things that are far less incendiary than this website. As far as I know, the police aren't doing anything. Well, it's even worse than that. Listen to this. A black history, this is what the Telegraph reported. It said a Black History Month website controlled by a white man featured taxpayer-funded advertisements alongside claims that white people are genetically defective descendants of albino mutants. A Telegraph investigation has found advertisements for organizations such as the police and MI6 ran alongside the anti-white propaganda, which also included the claim that a white man can fantasize that he is genetically equal to the black male. So the police and the MI6 are advertising on this this hate-crazed anti-white website. So there, it goes to show you what side they're on. Anyway, it says the Black History Month website, which is linked to a magazine of the same name, is the first to appear in online searches for Black History Month and has included content by renowned black figures as well as leaders of all major political parties. So there you go, the establishment's okay with all this. On Friday, Linda Bellows, who was instrumental in launching the Black History Month celebration in the UK in the late 80s, compared the website's white ownership to enslavement. She said the whole purpose of Black History Month is to empower us, and she's talking about black people. I don't want some white man or even white woman playing that role, she said. The taking of ideas and indeed the taking of people was done successfully by the British. It's called enslavement. I'm not talking about his motives. I'm talking about the outcome. So even the blacks don't even like this white guy taking up Black History Month. Anyway, it said Mr. Thomas described the Black History Month celebration as a grassroots organization, and his commercial website is the so-called Glue, which had come on the back of a long history of working for racial equality. He said that the magazine and the website had an editor who decided what goes in them, but that he proofreads pages as the magazine's managing editor and publisher. He admitted that some of the anti-white content highlighted by the Telegraph was, quote, dreadful, unquote, and removed the series of articles that had pledged to broadcast the theories of a controversial American psychiatrist, Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, following her so-called tragic death in 2016. So he proofread the damn stuff. Then he backed off once it started drawing criticism. Well, anyway, it said these included claims that a white man giving gifts of chocolate candy with nuts for Valentine's Day can fantasize that he is genetically equal to the white male when his sweetheart eats them, and that the Holocaust was carried out to illustrate to all non-white ethnicities that they were in peril of extermination, unquote. I mean, this guy's really in la-la land. Mr. Thomas did not remove a 2020 opinion piece by the REIT Society, which said that Europeans have been encouraged to be morally monstrous to non-Europeans for so long, this behavior has become second nature. They are a really respected body, and that's their view, he said. Dr. Dwayne Neal, the chairman of the REIT Society, also defended the piece. Well, anyway, Twitter didn't like it, and there's been a lot of criticism from Twitter. So there you go. That's what's being promoted, but taxpayer money, and it's being supported by the police and MI6. They have no problem with it, calling white people genetic mutants, defective descendants of albino mutants. So that tells you all you need to know about what side the establishment is on. And this is true whether it's in England, United States, Australia, it doesn't matter. Okay, here's another interesting story. This is KO4FE. This is off the Daily Mail. Listen to this one. Black woman is charged with posing as Ku Klux Klan member and posting notes to seven African American neighbors threatening to burn down their homes and kill their children. I wonder if this will be included in the FBI's reports for racist activity by so-called domestic terrorists. This is interesting. I guess they can't find enough, real racial crimes, so they have to come up with, just invent them. So anyway, this one was a black woman did this one. Here's a read some of the story. It says a black woman has been charged with posing as a member of the Ku Klux Klan and posting notes through her neighbor's doors threatening to kill their children. Teresa Lucas, 30, has been charged with 8 counts of making terroristic threats, according to the Douglasville, Georgia Police Department. Well, you know, if it was a white man doing this, it'd be be charged with a hell of a lot more than merely making terroristic threats. Investigators allege that Lucas wrote letters describing herself as a 6 feet tall white male with a long red beard who did not live in the neighborhood. In March, residents of the Brookmont subdivision of Manning Drive in Douglasville, some 23 miles west of Atlanta, began receiving threatening racist letters in the mail. I received one 2 days ago, and I was alarmed at what I read, one resident told CBS 46 News. The letter is using the N-word, talking about the KKK hanging people, killing kids, killing whole families, and setting houses on fire. At least 7 families reported receiving the threatening letters. The first letters were sent to 2 homes back in December of last year, according to investigators. Douglas Police Detective Nathan Shoemaker said that the letters were left in the mailboxes at night and found the next day. Similar threatening letters that police said had the same tone and verbiage were reported on February 17th, February 22nd, March 1st, and March 3rd. 6 months went by without any letters until another note was reportedly received on September 6th. Police spent months investigating the matter, going door to door and checking doorbell cameras. Investigators also handed out flyers to residents asking for information. The break in the case came last month on Labor Day. Police said they obtained evidence linking the letters to Lucas's home, though the department did not specify. No contact information was available for Lucas, with cops in the Atlanta suburb yet to release a mugshot of her. Yeah, I wonder why. Probably want to let the case continue to stir up anxiety by letting people assume it was a white person. They don't want to kill the hysteria by letting people know it was a black woman that did it. It says officers have yet to share a motive for the bizarre crime, and it's unclear if Lucas has retained an attorney. Records posted by the Douglas County Sheriff's Office indicate that Lucas was booked into jail. She faces 8 felony charges of terroristic threats and acts. Each count carries a maximum prison sentence of 5 years and a fine of $5,000. So we'll have to see what happens with that case. Needless to say, she'll get a slap on the wrist compared to what any white person would have gotten for doing the identical thing. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Really interesting, Bill. You know, I don't know if you've heard of a guy named Officer Tatum. He does a vlog, but he did an interesting vlog, whatever. It's a video. They're usually 6 to 10 minutes long. He's a black man who served as a police officer at one time, but he was showing a clip where a black man was talking to a group of Congress people, and he said that racism would be dead if it wasn't for the fact that BLM and Antifa and the Democratic Party are keeping it on life support. They want this to constantly be stirred, but racism is primarily the blacks keeping the racism going.
Yeah, Roger. Well, there's no doubt that the Democrats, because they fund it. Well, first you got a lot of self-hating white people in the left among liberals who just love to wallow in self-abasement, and then you've got the cynical operatives who think that the best way to get black votes is to constantly keep them in a state of panic and rage over the boogeyman of white nationalism or white terrorism or the KKK. I mean, really, the truth of the matter is the KKK is it's on life support. You might have a few guys in some town somewhere get together and drink beer and rant and rave about blacks, but that's about the extent of it. But to the a lot of these people, they think the KKK is some nationwide organization with millions of members, and there's nothing that could be further from the truth, over.
I think the National Alliance is a bigger threat than the KKK, and if we remember our history, the KKK was fundamentally a democratic organization, over.
Yeah, Roger, and there was also a high number of FBI informants that made up the membership.
Lovely group that they are. Look at all the FBI informants that were around on January 6th. They did a great job. All righty, sir, thank you. KO4FE, KHLY. Let me go down to Georgia and see if I can pick up Bethlehem, Georgia. Horace, you are really light, so we'll see if we can listen it out and hear what you got to say. Kilo Oscar 4, Lima Oscar Romeo. Go ahead, sir. Bill, do you hear anything? I don't.
No, I don't hear a thing.
All righty. Let me move down to Miss Laura. She is listening, N2JTTF. Good evening, Miss Laura. And she wants me to remind everybody, libertynetradio.org. O-R-G. Org. I'm supposed to say it constantly per Laura. And then there's that N2IRJ, the Martin, who probably needs a haircut for certain. He wants me to remind everybody, libertynetradio.org. Okay, I'm waiting for them to type back to me that I've said it enough times, but I probably haven't. Mr. Larry, are you ready, or do you want me to shout out for some additional check-ins? The N4ROQ.
I've got it. I'll go ahead there, Bob. Thank you very much. All right, here's in Tennessee here. There's a gun company that's getting out of, they're coming to Tennessee from, I believe it was Massachusetts. Guess who it is? Starts with Smith and Wesson. They will bring 750 new jobs to East Tennessee, as well as $125 million in relocation in construction projects. They show the big picture of what it's going to look like. Saying it's a big, big area. Let's see, gun manufacturer Smith & Wesson is moving its headquarters to Blount County, which is one county over from Knox County, which is where I reside. So very, very close. Smith & Wesson will become Blount County's 8th largest employer. So we've got like Nippon Denso and some other large employees, which most of them are going to Blount County. So Blount County is a great employer for a lot of different factories at this time. They're getting out of the north. Recruiting one of the largest gun manufacturers is a regional and statewide economic win. Tennessee is home to 20 small arms and ammunition manufacturers, and Smith & Wesson's arrival will make Tennessee number one for employment in the industry, according to the Tennessee Department of Economic and Community Development. The company, now based in Springfield, Massachusetts, will relocate distribution, assembly, and plastic injection molding operations here. It is closing facilities in Connecticut and Missouri as part of the move. The Massachusetts facility will remain open. Employers at these facilities will have the opportunity to relocate with financial and logistical assistance from the company. According to Smith & Wesson press release, meaning it's not known how many jobs will be available for East Tennesseans. Smith & Wesson's a regional win. Smith & Wesson will join major employers Denso Manufacturing, Clayton Homes, Vanderbilt Mortgage and Finance, and Arconic in the top 10 Blount County employers, according to state data. It's not just your mom and pop plant. It's definitely a huge employer that's going to bring a lot of assets in this area and raise the profile of it, said Jeff Muir, Blount County Chamber of Commerce spokesperson. This is Blount County's third major economic development announcement of the year. Amazon is coming in February. They said in February it would invest at least $200 million to build a warehouse fulfillment center in Alcoa, which is in Blount County also. So that's some good things for close to where I live. And I want to read this again about the YouTube that's banning the COVID vaccine claims. They're saying they're false. And these are the right side doctors. These doctors are against this COVID-19 shot. They say it's possible it's got aluminum particles in it that go to the brain. Once you have it, you never get rid of it. They're always there, and they're always got a possibility of cancer, autoimmune disease, and death. So here's the article. It's in the Associated Press, USA Today. This was last week. This is very important. YouTube is wiping vaccine, anything against the vaccine and any kind of theories against it from its popular video sharing platform. The ban on this vaccine that doesn't go along with their view is announced in a blog on Wednesday, comes as countries around the world continue to offer free immunizations for COVID-19 to somewhat hesitant public. Public health officials have struggled to push back against a steady current of, they're saying, misinformation, but it is not. I think they're right on target. And the people better wake up and quit taking these vaccines. They do not keep you from having COVID-19. Not at all. Your best bet is ivermectin and hydrochloroquine and zinc. Do not take this vaccine. Let me tell you, I know if you've already taken it, it's too late, and I hope that you're the best. But I'm telling you, they want to get rid of the population in any way they can, and this is one way that they're looking at. They're trying to force all these people in the government, military, and everywhere else to take this vaccine against their will. So just remember that. YouTube's new rules will prohibit misinformation about any vaccine that have been approved by health authorities, such as the World Health Organization, are currently being administered. The platform had already begun to crack down late last year, but they're on this vaccine. Anyone saying anything about the vaccine, they're taking them off, especially of YouTube. YouTube, which is owned by Google, will delete any videos. Let's see, if it says anything in there about health issues like cancer, infertility, autism, any of that stuff, they take them off. As of Wednesday, popular anti-vaccine accounts, including those run by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., were kicked off YouTube. And let's see, move on from there. The new rule will apply to general claims about vaccines as well as statements about specific vaccines, such as those given for measles or flu. Claims about vaccines that are being tested will still be allowed. Personal stories about reactions to the vaccine will also be permitted as long as they do not come from someone that has a history of promoting vaccine misinformation, they're calling it. This could be a doctor, it could be anyone that's just stating what they know about the vaccine, trying to help other people stay away from this poison that they're putting out. They're going to take it off. Not a free country anymore, people. You got these liberal Democrats running everything. They're not letting you see everything that these frontline doctors are coming up with about it. So anyway, that's all I have right now, Bob. Thank you very much. From N4ROQ, Larry in Tennessee, back to net.
Alrighty, Larry. Well, thank you very much. And yes, it is a free country. Provide the best care that we have, but don't say I have to take it. They're mandating everybody to take it, but why is the United States Postal Service not mandated to take the shot? They want to make first responders. They're losing employees because of it. There's like 50% of the medical doctors in the U.S. that have not received it. And I refer to that silly thing in Nevada. If you want to go to a Raiders football game, you have to show a vaccination card or take the shot at the door. Now, there's nothing about medicine and science. You got to take the shot at the door. It's constantly forcing you to do things. Why don't they take the AIDS patients and make them take medications or cut off their wieners or something? Again, it's just forcing the American public, and it's really wrong. But that being said, let me see if I have anybody new tonight. So this is KAHJOY with LibertyNetRadio.org. Who is there to check in?
KD0RSA.
Ah, there's Mr. Mo. It's good to hear you, Mr. Mo. KD0RSA. Let me type you into the little computer here. So what's going on out there in the great state of Nebraska, Mo?
Well, I don't know much of anything, really. It's very calm out here. I'm still building on my blind that I got put up in the air over.
Ah, you're still working on your gunpowder?
Yes, I'm still working on it. At my age, you're kind of slow. And so that's why it's taking so long. I got the trailer upside down out there right now, and I I'm setting the axle back to balance the trailer better. And I cut the hangers off of it today, over.
Oh, okay, so you've been working on it. Is your weather still good out in Nebraska?
The weather out here is very, very nice. We're about 64 degrees. Right here at the present time, and we was up in the high 70s today, I'm sure. So it's very, very nice out here. In fact, we didn't even have any wind the last 3 days, over.
How exciting. All righty. Well, thank you for stopping in, Mr. Mo. Do you have anything you want to comment on, over?
Nothing right now. I'll be stopping here less than and see what you young fellas got to say. Over.
Alrighty, well, thank you for the compliment for the young fellows. Good to hear from you. Ride along with us. KD0RSA KHOY. Do I have anybody else that would like to check in? Over. Nothing heard, so then I got another letter. So I wrote a letter to my senators, and again, my Senator Rob Portman, Portman Republican. My letter to him was in regards to keep our banking private. So in regards to that House Resolution 1319, where they want the banks to start reporting any transaction of $600 or greater to the IRS, and the government in that $3.5 trillion bill wants to hire a bunch of IRS agents. So the response was, "Dear Robert, thank you for taking the time to contact me to share your thoughts on President Biden's proposed financial account information reporting plan. It is good to hear from you. Earlier this year, I spoke with the IRS Commissioner, Chuck Ritting, at a Senate Financial Committee hearing on measures that would help close the tax gap, the difference between taxes Americans owe and what they actually pay, which has been a problem for decades." Now I'm going to stop right there. Wonder if Hunter Biden paid taxes on all that illegal money that came his way, and the 10% that he kept for the big guy. I wonder if they paid their fair share. I doubt it. I'll continue. "While I agree that we should pursue bipartisan measures to enforce our nation's tax laws and close the tax gap, I have serious concerns about how the Biden administration has proposed to do that. The Biden administration's plan includes a new reporting requirements on financial institutions that would be unprecedented violation of taxpayer privacy and a threat to the security of their data, as well as an overwhelming burden for financial institutions, such as banks, money transfer services such as PayPal and Venmo. By requiring financial institutions to report not only all inflows and outflows of money, but potentially even an individual's transactions of financial accounts, the IRS would have far more data than is necessary to enforce our nation's tax laws. I worry about the dramatic expansion of information reporting would further deter unbanked households from participating in the financial institution." That's right, they put more money in the walls than in the gosh darn mattress. "Reducing financial inclusion. Unfortunately, exclusion from the financial system also exacerbates poverty, and that is crucial that we do what we can to expand financial inclusion, not discourage it. At the same time, the new obligations on banks of all sizes would be unprecedented. Community banks and credit unions would struggle to comply with the new burden, and the cost of the compliance are likely to be transferred to their customers and employees. While it would hurt banks of all sizes, studies have shown that compliance costs could spread more effectively across larger banks than smaller ones. Many smaller banks might not be able to sustain the new obligations, giving an unfair advantage to large-scale banks who can. I believe it is critical that banks of all sizes can thrive and that Americans can continue to assume smaller banks in their own communities. For these reasons, I am strongly opposed to the new reporting requirements being proposed by the Biden administration and have been relentless in strong opposition to Senator Majority Leader Chuck Schumer." Oh, whiny Schumer. "While it would be reported to us to work together to close the tax gap by violating taxpayer privacy, putting overwhelming compliance costs on small banks, and reducing financial inclusion, this proposal is simply the wrong way to go. Thanks again for taking the time to contact me. Sincerely, Rob Portman, U.S. Senator, Republican." So, at least my letters have gotten somewhere. I really appreciate that. I have since wrote to Marjorie Taylor Greene, and I wrote to South Dakota Kristi Noem, the governor out there. So we'll see if those get responses, and if they do, I will be happy to read them. Let me check and see if I have any late check-ins to the Wednesday night, the real, the genuine Liberty Net. So your guest host, Sergeant-at-Arms, K-A-J-O-Y. Let me see who I've got waiting. Nothing heard, so Mr. Bill, I'm back to you, sir. KO4FE, KHJOY.
Okay, KHJOY, the true Liberty Net from KO4FE. Well, Bob, believe it or not, I got yet another story, another fake hate crime. I don't know what gets in these black people's heads. I mean, you know, according to Black Lives Matter and all the Democrats, there should be more than enough examples of so-called white racism. They shouldn't have to make them up, but this is what they're doing. This is this headline. This is out of Law Enforcement Today. It says, black man arrested for N-word graffiti and swastikas at Emory University. It says in August, someone painted several racist and offensive slurs on a building at Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. Police have just arrested a black man for the crime. Police reports of the crime stated that the area where the racial slurs were reportedly written along the walls was near the workplace occupied by two African-American women. A swastika was also placed in a hallway near a Jewish man's office. Former DeKalb District Attorney Robert James said the crime falls under the new hate crime law. On Wednesday, Emory University's police department arrested the man accused of writing the racial slurs and swastikas. Roy Lee Gordon Jr. has been charged with second-degree burglary. Emory officials said in a news release that indicated Gordon is also the same person who allegedly wrote the N-word and drew swastikas at the Emory Autism Center last month. He is a former employee of the university. Gordon has not been charged under the state's new hate crime law. Police reports indicated that Emory officials became aware that the actor was a black man in early August, but they never informed the campus or the press. This allowed the belief that the crime was racially motivated to perpetuate. So even though they knew it was a black guy doing it, they wanted to keep it quiet. They wanted everybody to assume it was a white person. Anyway, a press release issued by the university on September 23rd announcing Gordon's arrest also made no mention of his race. Now, why would they do that? I'm sure if it was a white person, they'd have his picture posted all over the place, but they don't even mention that this hate crime, so-called hate crime, this burglary or whatever they're calling it, was actually perpetrated by a black person. Said, however, the university did continue to create the false impression that the crime was race-related. It said, quote, acts of racism and anti-Semitism are painful for the entire Emory community. EPD's priority is fostering a safe and inclusive campus for all faculty, staff, students, patients, and their family while upholding Emory's values and commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Nowhere did they say the graffiti and swastikas and all that was put on by a black person, and the black man had been arrested for this. It's really amazing. They just, you know, they want people, they want white, they're dying for white people to do this, even to the point to where when a black person does it, they try to make people think it was a white person that did it. Really shameful actions. Now here's one. We all heard about this white colonel who was got put in the brig for questioning General Milley and the leadership, and of course conservatives and Trump supporters flock to defend this guy. Well, he turns out to be a snake. It says Lieutenant Colonel Scheller rejects Trump support. He said, I don't need or want your help. After they raised $2 million to help the guy, he's trashing the Trump supporters. What an ass. Said prior to MAGA, Trump supporters raising more than $2 million to help with his legal costs, Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller publicly denounced help from the former president and his son, saying he would rather sit in jail than accept their support. Well, I would say people should get their money back and let his ass sit in jail. Anyway, it said Scheller became a household name among conservatives this past August when he publicly criticized the Biden administration's botched withdrawal from Afghanistan while demanding accountability from senior leadership. Immediately after his post went viral, Scheller was fired after 17 years of service. Last week, a Marine Corps spokesperson confirmed that Scheller was placed in the military jail as he awaits for a preliminary hearing. So I would guess this guy might have voted for Biden, and Joe Biden showed his loyalty. And then Trump supporters rush in to help, and this guy's basically giving them the finger. I mean, some son of a gun. He said less than a week after Scheller's arrest, the Pipe Hitter Foundation set up a fundraiser for the Marine and amassed over $2 million. As Insider noted, the foundation is run by former Navy SEAL Eddie Gallagher, who was convicted in 2019 after posing with the dead body of an ISIS captain until Trump granted him clemency in November 2020. Prior to his arrest, Scheller issued a lengthy post on Facebook in which he criticized various political and military figures, including former President Trump and General Michael Flynn. He said, President Trump, I was told by everyone to kiss the ring because of your following in power. I refuse. He says, while I respect your foreign policy positions, I hate how you've divided the country. I don't need nor want your help. You do not have the ability to pull us together. You may even win the next election, but your generation's time is running out. Tell your son to stop tweeting about me. Your whole family knows nothing about us or our sacrifices. I could never work with you. I'd rather sit in jail and be released with a dishonorable discharge than make compromises in his beliefs. In my beliefs, excuse me. Close quote. In the same post, Scheller criticized former presidents Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush. He also scolded generals Michael Flynn, David Petraeus, and James Mattis. The following day, Scheller clarified that he did not mean to say that former President Trump divided the nation himself. Well, that's what he said. Only that he is, quote, incapable of bringing us back together, unquote. Sounds like he's backing off after he realized people were trying to get their money back from his damn legal fund that he got $2 million for. That's why always be careful when you go rushing off to support these people. One of them are no good. Just because they make some comment against the Democrats, that doesn't necessarily mean they're worth a damn. So anyway, this is what he said in his revision statement. He said, I've had such a strong reaction to my comments against President Trump, I felt a follow-up clarification was required. He said, no, President Trump didn't divide the country. Well, that's what you said. But President Trump, in my humble opinion, is incapable of bringing us back together. Did he expose the corruption in the DOJ, media, and other places? Yes. Was he the right person to expose the corruption at that time? Maybe. Well, he's the only person willing to do it. Is he honest, accountable, and full of integrity? No. Well, you obviously aren't full of integrity because you just contradicted what you said in your previous statement. So I don't know about you're not one to be lecturing anybody about integrity. I think you got worried that people were going to take their money back, and you thought you'd backpedal a little bit. He said, would I want to work for a leader like that? No. I want a leader that will bring us together. Well, who's that? Can you name one? I don't know of any of them. Certainly not a Democrat, certainly not Joe Biden. But anyway, he goes on to say, someone who has the courage to defend our country when called. My sons deserve that type of leader running the country in the future. What type of person is the only... That type of person is the only leader I want in my corner. Respect all opinions. I'm not asking you to agree with me, but to at least consider my perspective. Well, much love. Well, you've shot your credibility. Regardless of Schiller's view on former President Trump, Republicans and Trump supporters have continued to support him and call for his release. Well, I think they need to abandon this clown. He can't even, he doesn't even know who his friends are. People support him with big money, and then he turns around and pisses on him. I don't like this guy. So anyway, back to you, Bob. KAAJOY, Liberty Net, KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. KO4FE, KHOY. Well, I watched a segment on Grant Stinchfield, Newsmax, and he brought out the exact points that you did about him dissing President Trump and his family, though he's gotten a tremendous amount of money. So the comment was, what is his goal? That's kind of one of those question marks, trying to figure out what his goal is. President Trump was probably the closest thing we've had to somebody that was getting this country more united, because under this regime, we constantly are being divided by race, by climate control, by you name it. And now that you've mentioned, or I mentioned climate, they were talking about Antarctica has seen a record-setting cold. I thought we had a global warming. Record-setting cold. Minus 78 degrees. I guess the last record was in the 90s, and it was minus 77. So now it's a degree colder. Wait a minute. What about global warming? So it just is constantly dividing us. You watch different articles about electric cars and about the electricity, and you know we were energy independent before Sippy Cup Joe took office. Now our gasoline is getting ridiculous. We already pay tax, gasoline tax. Now they want a tax per mile for each American. But Joe says this $3.5 trillion won't cost the middle class. It'll be $0. It's already costing us money since he's in office. And look at the grocery store shelves. I'm amazed. I cannot find Dole lime gelatin with pineapple in no store. I can see where the shelf is, where the little ticket is to say how much it costs per snack pack, but it's nowhere to be found. I was looking at the bread aisle. It was kind of lean. I was looking at other staples, ketchup and mustard in major stores. So it is really kind of concerning, the avenue that we're going down at the moment. So thank you, Mr. Bill, KO4FEKHOY. Let me see if Mr. Horace is there again. KO4LOR. Mr. Horace, are you with us? nothing heard. I'm going to say hi again to Laura and to JTT. She spent a lot of time on libertynetradio.org. You got to check it out. It's kind of cool. It's very, very nice. There is an imposter, so be careful with that .org. N2IRJ, Mr. Martin. I hope you're combing your hair. You know, I'm looking good. And let me go down to Mr. Larry, N4ROQ, KHLY.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. I got one more car manufacturer I'm going to mention, and the reason I mention it, they're going to start making electric vehicles here in Tennessee. 3,600 acres for an electric vehicle manufacturing campus, expecting to create 5,800 jobs, received bipartisan support following Governor Bill Lee's Monday announcement on the investment, signaling any legislation smothering Ford's move to West Tennessee could sail through. Eager to embrace car manufacturing, giant Ford's $5.6 billion investment into the Memphis regional megasite, Tennessee lawmakers are looking forward to rubber stamping. So, and they're pushing these electric vehicles here. They're putting $5.6 billion into a 3,600-acre electric vehicle manufacturing. They're calling it a campus. Let's see what else they're saying about it here. So these Democrats are pushing all these electric crap through. I don't like batteries. I sure don't like batteries in vehicles other than just to start it up with a combustion, a gas combustion engine. These electric vehicles are just crap, and I think they'll turn out to be that before it's over with. Let's see if there's anything else down through here. That's pretty much it. Just don't like electric vehicles, and they're being pushed on us by the Democrats. Here's a high-profile case, tops new Supreme Court term. It's about abortion, guns, religion, already on the agenda. This is from Washington, USA Today. The future of abortion rights is in the hands of a conservative Supreme Court that is beginning a new term Monday that also includes major cases on gun rights and religion. The court's credibility with the public also could be on the line, especially if a divided court were to overrule the landmark Roe v. Wade decision. The justices are returning to the courtroom after an 18-month absence. They've been away from the courtroom for 18 months, people, caused by a coronavirus pandemic and the possible retirement of 83-year-old liberal Justice Stephen Breyer also looms. It's his first term with the court, and current alignment Justice Amy Coney Barrett, the last of former President Donald Trump's three high court appointees, as part of a six-justice conservative majority. Barrett was nominated and confirmed last year amid the pandemic, a little more than a month after the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Trump and Republicans who control the Senate moved quickly to fill the seat shortly before the 2020 presidential election, bringing about a change in the court's lineup that set the stage for a potential law-changing term. With abortion, guns, and religion already on the agenda and a challenge to affirmative action waiting in the wings, the court will answer a key question over the next year, said University of Chicago law professor David Strauss. Is this the term in which the culture wars return to the Supreme Court? Because this is a liberal. The judges will hear arguments December 1 in Mississippi's bid to enforce a ban on most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Lower courts block the law because it's inconsistent with high court rulings. It allows states to regulate but not prohibit abortion before viability.
the point around 24 weeks of pregnancy when a fetus can survive outside the womb. Mississippi is taking what conservative commentator Kerry Cervino called a rip the band-aid off approach to the case by asking the court to abandon its support of abortion rights that was laid out in Roe in the 1992 case of Planned Parenthood versus Casey. Mississippi is among 12 states with a so-called trigger law that would take effect if Roe is overturned. By a 5-4 vote in early September, the court already has allowed a ban on most abortions to take effect in Texas. Though no court has yet ruled on the substance of the law. So moving on down, Jeff Wall, a top Justice Department lawyer under Trump, said the court could sharply expand gun rights and end the use of race in college admissions, but only abortion is likely to move public perception of the court. So it's not right to let the baby go the full time and then they kill it with a pair of scissors and then use the body parts. And that's what the Democrats were doing for a long time, and Republicans are trying to change that. So that's murder, in my opinion. Okay, we'll stop it right there. Thank you very much, Bob. Thanks for running the net. And shoot it back up there to you, KAAJY, if I'm in for RLQ.
Alrighty, Mr. Larry, thank you. Appreciate your input. I'm typing, it looks like I got Michael. K4BFR is listening on a website, so I'll have to say hi to him. Thank you, Larry. N4ROQ, KHLY. Let me go down to Mr. Mo, KD0RSA. Mr. Mo, are you able to hear us tonight? Over.
I didn't hear that.
Are you able to hear Larry and Bill tonight?
I can hear Larry's voice. I can hear Bill all the time. It's good to be able to hear Larry, because most generally I can't hear him. So the best must be getting a lot better. Anyway, it's great to get on to that, and I do appreciate it. But I'm gonna have to hang it up. I've been putting in about 8 hours on this welding project I got going, and so I need to get some shut eye so I can get at it tomorrow and get it done before it turns cold. Over.
All righty. Well, 73 to you. Thank you for joining us, and good luck on your welding project.
Well, I do appreciate it. Sometimes I can weld and sometimes I can't, but I'll do the best I can. KD0RSA, I'll turn her back to you, Bob. Over.
All righty, Mo. 73, thank you for joining us. KD0RSA in Nebraska, KHLY. Let me jump down and just say hi to Michael, K4BFR. Michael, I'm glad you're listening with us. Thank you for joining. I'm going to show you on NetLogger as listening, so let me see if I have any other parties that would like to join us before I start the 73 round. This is KHLY for the Liberty Net. Nothing heard, so I'll start the 73 round, and I just got this on my phone, so Bill and Larry will like this. The Marine Lieutenant Colonel, who was imprisoned for criticizing military leadership about the withdrawal from Afghanistan, during which a suicide attack of 13 soldiers dead, has formally been charged with 6 violations of the Unifor Code of Military Justice, announced Wednesday. Lieutenant Colonel What's-His-Nuts Jr. was accused of disrespect towards superior commissioned officers, willfully disobeying a superior commissioned officer, dereliction in the performance of duties, failure to obey order or regulation, and conduct unbecoming of a gentleman and an officer. According to a release from Marines Training and Educational Command. No hearing date in the court martial case has been set. The release from Captain Sam Stephen said. Scheller was released from pretrial confinement on Tuesday after spending more than a week in the brig at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. The release following intense public criticism and rebukes from several members of Congress. Again, it's kind of odd that he would have done this. He knew the rule, so I guess if he really wanted to make it proper, he should have resigned and then done it. So it's hard to say what his motive is. I agree with Grant Stinchfield, trying to figure out what his motive is. Is he going to write a book? He got all this money on GoFundMe. What is his motive? But he certainly sit at the Patriots and Donald Trump. So, kind of interesting. All righty. Mr. Bill, I'm back to you. The 73 round. What are your final thoughts? KO4ME. KAHJOY.
Okay. KAHJOY. Liberty Net. From KO4FE. Okay, Bob, well, it was a short net, but still enjoy getting in here. Band wasn't too bad. I'm hearing Mo pretty good. Larry's coming in. You're coming in. So just didn't have, could have stood a few more stations, but whatever, you know. People have things to do. And so anyway, still went on for, you know, end up going an hour and a half. Anyway, it's a Wednesday night. So anyway, you know, one of the things that I just got tired of, and that's why I kind of quit going to church, is over the years, the churches are just gradually, some of them, or the liberal churches are the worst. I mean, I don't even know why they call themselves Christian. I don't even follow anything to do with Christian religion or the Bible, or I don't know. They seem to be probably using a book, the Communist Manifesto. They probably refer to that more than they refer to the Bible, if they even refer to the Bible. But even the conservative traditional churches have been infected with leftism, particularly feminism. I've noticed even the really conservative traditional churches, they don't resist feminism at all. I could give a numerous examples, but that's not really the topic of this transmission. The state of Christianity is, and this is a story, Gateway Pundit headline, Christian University commissions murals of trans flag and failed Democratic gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams. Says Emory University, a Methodist college in Georgia, has commissioned a gay pride mural and a mural featuring Democrat politicians in one of their dorm halls. The pride mural features a transgender flag and the slogan, quote, "We are here, we are queer, get used to it," unquote. The second mural features Martin Luther King Jr., deceased Democrat Congressman John Lewis, and failed Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams. You think this is a leftist university? Just because something's got Christian attached to it doesn't mean anything nowadays. It said Campus Reform reports that both murals were installed at Emory's Alabama Hall, a residence building designed for first-year students. Well, they got to start the brainwashing early. They were completed prior to students moving in for the fall semester. So anyway, course, Gateway Pundits reached out to Emory University about the murals and will update their story if they ever get a response. But there you go. This is Christian University promoting the far left that has nothing whatsoever. They hate Christianity, but the Christian churches, many of them, and the Christian universities, I don't know, bow down to the leftism. All right, here's another story. This is also from the Gateway Pundit. Says Phoenix teachers who refuse to teach critical race theory will be paid less than those who do. So they're using money to intimidate the teachers. Says the Phoenix school district is incentivizing teachers to implement social emotional learning. Don't you just love these terms that these damn educational bureaucrats come up with? And, quote, culturally responsive pedagogy, unquote, in their classrooms. Teachers will not receive their bonuses if they refuse to participate. Social-emotional learning is just a fancy term for racial indoctrination or critical race theory. According to KASEL, the framework used by the district, SEL, Advanced Educational Equity. Anytime you see that word equity, you know you're dealing with Marxism, so you don't even have to really wonder about where it's coming from. And excellence, well, those are two contradictory words, equity and excellence. Through authentic school-family community partnerships and established learning environments and experiences that feature trusting and collaborative relationships, rigorous and meaningful curriculum, and instruction and ongoing evaluation, SEL can help address various forms of inequity and empower young people and adults to co-create thriving schools and contribute to safe, healthy, and just communities. You know, I tell you, the gibberish that comes from these educational groups is really amazing. You can tell it's almost like some kind of inside language that, you know, a civilian or a non-teacher read that and think, well, I don't even understand what they're talking about, but the teachers know what they're talking about because they're speaking in code language. Anyway, the core features of transformative SEL include authentic partnering among students and adults with a deep focus on sharing power and decision-making between young people, educators, families, and communities. Second point, academic content that integrates issues of race, class, and culture. There's your CRT, critical race theory. Instruction that honors and makes connections to students' lived experiences and identities and scaffolds learning to build an understanding of others' lived experience. Next one, enhancing and foregrounding social and emotional competencies needed for civic engagement and social change, such as reflecting on personal and social identities, examining prejudices and biases, interrogating social norms, disrupting and resisting inequities, and co-constructing equitable and just solutions. Sounds like a recruiting for Antifa or Black Lives Matter. Next point, prioritizing students' individual and collective agency to take action for social justice. Again, that's Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Focus on creating belonging and engagement for all individuals. Who knows what the hell that means? Then the writer of the article said, this sounds like an activist training kit. Yeah, sure does. Matthew Nielsen shared this thread on Twitter. It says teachers in a Phoenix school district who don't teach CRT to their students will be paid less than those who do. Phoenix Union High School District will only pay Prop 301 intended for pay for performance bonuses to teachers if they complete training on social-emotional learning and cultural responsive pedagogy and then implement them in their lessons. How is social-emotional learning related to CRT? Teachers who refuse to do this will be ineligible for bonuses. So there you go. They're bribing the teachers now. So if you don't teach leftist indoctrination, critical race theory, and advocate for joining Black Lives Matter and Antifa, then you're going to be paid less. Talk about intimidation. So anyway, Bob, thanks for running the net, and 73s to all those that checked in and anyone listening. So this is KO4FE, and we'll see you all on Saturday night. KAAJOY Liberty Net from KO4FE.
Thank you, Bill. Well, that's the perfect word. They've got all those fancy words, but the only word that matters is indoctrination. That truly is what they're doing. I think it's interesting about they're talking about we are queer, we are here. Well, I want to put a poster on the wall. I guess I'm amazed that it's a Methodist school, because Methodist is usually somewhat strict, but we should have one that says the male stem unit belongs in a vagina, and that way the queers will die off. Over.
Hey, yeah, Roger. No, anything Methodist is, they're totally saturated with leftism, CRT, and Marxism. Don't expect anything good to come out of the Methodists. I'm just warning you. I don't know. Some people go to Methodist churches, but believe me, the people run, you may have some decent people going to the individual churches, but believe me, if the people that run the Methodist churches are total Marxists.
Interesting. We have a Protestant church. I'm trying to think of the denomination here in town. And the pastor is definitely a leftist. His last name is King. Him and I have tangled several times. It's not been good. What is that? It's the United Church of Christ, I believe. So it's another one that's gone woke and Marxist, the same. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate you joining us tonight. KO4FE KHLY. Back to Miss Laura. Remember, it's libertynetradio.org. They did a lot of work on it. It looks really good. So there's a place to look at different things about Mr. Victor and the actual Liberty Net, the real Liberty Net. There's even a place to click on and make a donation to help cover the cost of the cover the cost of the web server. So go and look at that. Mr. Martin, hello. And now we're down to Mr. Larry. N4ROQ, the 73 round. Your final thoughts, Mr. Larry?
Okay, thank you very much. I've got an article coming up here on the mask wearing here. I'll cover this one first. And let's see if I can get this other one to come back. But anyway, auto sales in U.S. swamp stalled by chip shortage. And all the way by the way, the price of gasoline has gone up, people. The price of barrels of oil has risen at least $2+ per barrel. So it's moving on up. And so you can expect to pay big money under Biden. For gas. They don't like any kind of a vehicle that's not electric, and that's for sure. Their agenda is to change our country
over to all electric vehicles, all electric airplanes, all electric ships or whatever. It's unbelievable. Anyway, this is from Detroit, Associated Press, USA Today. In a normal month before the pandemic, Contalo's Chevy dealership in Jerome, Idaho, sold around 40 new vehicles. In September, it was only 6. Now he's got nothing new in stock, and every car, truck, or SUV on order has been sold. Last month, what happened at his dealership about 150 miles southeast of Boise was repeated across the country as factory closures due to a worsening global shortage of computer chips crimped U.S. new vehicle shipments. Forecasters expect that September sales fell around 25% from last year as chip shortages and other parts supply disruptions cut into the selection on dealer lots and raised prices once again to record levels. That sent many frustrated customers through the timelines delayed out of shortage that has hobbled the industry since late last year. J.D. Power expects that U.S. automakers sold just over 1 million vehicles in September for an annual sales rate of 12.2 million. That's 4 million lower than last year's annual rate for September and 4.9 million below the rate in September of 2019. For the third quarter, J.D. Power expects sales to fall just over 13% from the same period a year ago. Automakers on Friday reported poor numbers. General Motors, which only reports sales by quarter, said its deliveries were off nearly 33% from July through September of last year. Stellantis, formerly Fiat Chrysler, saw quarterly sales dip 19%, while Nissan sales were down 10% for the quarter. Honda's U.S. sales fell almost 25% last month, and were down 11% for the quarter. At Toyota, sales were off 22% for September, but up just over 1% in the third quarter. Hyundai reported sales off 2% last month, but up 4% for the third quarter. Volkswagen third quarter sales were down 8%. September results show that there are simply not enough vehicles available to meet consumer demand, said Thomas King, president of the data and analytics at J.D. Power. The average sales price of a new vehicle hit a record of $42,802 last month. $42,802. Breaking the old record of $41,528 set in August. J.D. Power said the average U.S. price is up nearly 19% from a year ago. 19% from a year ago, when it broke $36,000 for the first time. J.D. Power said the auto price increases have helped to drive up U.S. inflation. General Motors hit hard by temporary plant closures last quarter, expressed some optimism, though. Steve Carlier, president of GM North America, said the computer chip shortage is improving. Now we look to the fourth quarter. A steady flow of vehicle product plants will continue to be released to dealers. We are starting production at key crossovers and car plants, and we look forward to a more stable operating environment for the fall. The shortage and crazy high prices for both new and used vehicles begin with the interruption of the pandemic. While the auto plants were shut down in April and May last year, computer chip makers shifted production to satisfy wild demand for laptops, gaming devices, and tablets. That created a shortage of automotive-grade chips, a problem that might not be fully resolved until next year. So these chip makers have got a lot of companies shut down. And it's going to make these used cars go up in price. So just remember that your used vehicle may be worth a little bit more. Space mission gets first glimpse of Mercury. The image were available, made by the European Space Agency shows the planet Mercury taken by the joint European-Japanese Bepi Colombo spacecraft. Mercury transfer modulus monitoring camera 2 on Friday. Space mission gets first glimpse of Mercury, a joint European-Japanese spacecraft got its first glimpse of Mercury as it swung by the solar system's innermost planet while on a mission to deliver two probes into orbit in 2025. The Bepi Colombo mission, that's spelled B-E-P-I-C-O-L-O-M-B-O mission, made the first of six flybys of Mercury at 11:34 p.m. GMT Friday, using the planet's gravity to slow the spacecraft down. After swooping past Mercury at altitudes of under 125 miles, the spacecraft took a low-resolution black-and-white photo with one of the monitoring cameras before zipping off again. The European Space Agency said the captured images show the northern hemisphere and Mercury's characteristic pock-marked features, among them on the 103-mile-wide Lametov crater. The joint mission by the European Agency, saying the Japanese Aerospace Exploration Agency, was launched in 2018, flying once past Earth and twice past Venus on its journey to the solar system's smallest planet. Five further flybys are needed before Bepi Colombo is sufficiently slowed down to release ESA's Mercury Planetary Orbiter and the JAX JHXA Mercury Magnospheric Orbiter. The two probes will study Mercury's core and processes on its surface as well as its magnetic sphere. The mission is named after Italian scientist Giuseppe Bepi Colombo, who is credited with helping develop the gravity assist maneuver that NASA's Mariner 10 first used when it flew to Mercury in 1974. So that's pretty neat. Also, N4ROQ. One other, there's a lot of volcanoes are up there right now. I'll just briefly say, in Honolulu, Kilauea, that's spelled K-I-L-A-U-E-A, volcano is erupting. It's on Hawaii's biggest island of Honolulu, I think. Officials of the U.S. Geological Survey confirmed Wednesday that the eruption began in Kilauea's volcano Halemaumau crater. That's at the volcano summit. Webcast footage of the crater showed lava fountains covering the floor of the crater and billowing clouds of volcanic gas were rising. The same area has been home to a large lava lake at various times throughout the volcano's eruptive past. The eruption is not in the area with homes and is contained within Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. All signs indicate that it will stay within the crater. Ken Hahn, the USGS scientist in charge of the Hawaii Volcano Observatory. We're not seeing any indications that lava is moving into the lower part of the East Rift Zone where people live. Currently, all the activity is within the park. The volcano's alert level has been raised to warning when the aviation code changed to red. Earlier Wednesday, officials said increased earthquake activity and ground swelling were detected, but the time raised the alert levels accordingly. Kilauea has a major eruption had a major eruption in 2018 that destroyed more than 700 homes, quite a few, and displaced thousands of residents. Before then, the volcano had been slowly erupting for decades, but mostly not in densely populated residential areas. Before the major 2018 eruption, Kilauea had been erupting since 1983, and streams of lava occasionally covered rural farms and homes. During that time, the lava sometimes reached the ocean, causing dramatic interactions with the water. Over 4 months in 2018, Kilauea spewed enough lava to fill 320,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools, burying an area more than half the size of Manhattan in up to 80 feet of now hardened lava. The molten rock reduced landmarks, streets, neighborhoods, a vast field of blackened boulders and volcanic shard. So there's some more going on too, but that was one of the major ones that that I saw. Thank you very much again. I hope Bob Jesse gets back into going speed again, and wife also, and enjoyed the net. And again, thanks for running it from N4ROQ, Larry in Tennessee, back to net, N4ROQ.
All right, Larry, thank you, N4ROQ, KHOY. When a jumbo jet takes off on D batteries, then I'll believe the electric revolution is here, right?
Yeah, if when it goes down, you can start calling for the Democrats to bring some more batteries, you know.
Again, you're not going to have ships do that. You're not going to have aircraft. The big semis, it's just not possible. I like my fuel-burning motor vehicle. After owning a Tesla, I like having my fuel-burning motor vehicle. I'm going to say hi to Michael again, K4BFR. He's typing on the net logger. He went to the website, libertynetradio.org, O-R-G, and he was commenting to Laura on liking it. With that being said, before I close the Wednesday night net, do I have anybody that would like to make a last-minute comment? This is KHOY.
J-A-X.
Go ahead, J-A-X.
Yeah, okay, thank you. WB2JAX, Gary Point Pleasant. I'm not logged in, but just want to make a comment. One lady from Washington State, she took the jab, and a poor woman wound up dying immediately. She had some kind of blood clot. So there's a caution out there. Try not to get too political, but that jab is in real bad problem. It's deadly. Over.
Roger, roger, Gary. I saw that, that was just a couple days ago or a week ago or something. I saw a little news clip that, man, it wasn't that long after she took that injection that she had a problem, correct?
Roger. She was from Seattle. It was on my local FM station that I listened to early in the morning, and they played it every time news was due to come up. That's the first thing they noticed. So that's about it for me. I just come down to the shack to do something a little quick, and I remember it's Wednesday, so it's the Liberty Net.
Well, thank you for joining us. Sorry you were a little late, but that's okay. You got here. They'll be back on Saturday night. And if you're playing with the computer, libertynetradio.org, O-R-G, org, org, org. Don't put in the imposter, libertynetradio.org. If you go any other direction, it'll take you to a bunch of pedophiles, literally. So, thank you, sir. Any other comment before I close the net? Nothing heard. I will say, Mr. Bill, I was mentioning to Marty about Harvey, KE4NY, and Marty says that he changed his call before he passed to Whiskey 8 Tango Golf Quebec. So I've got to add that to my list. So that was just a little blurb that I wanted to throw out to you. Over. As I close the window on this night's Liberty Net, I want to wish Mrs. Calabash a good night, wherever she is, as well as a safe night to all the ships at sea, including the United States Navy sailors and soldiers that are listening. A special thank you and a rest in peace is Silent Key, Mr. Victor, W1WPR, Mr. Vern, W9FAM, Mr. Jim, KE8INE, Mr. Robert, KN4CF, Mr. Mike, N3TVA, Mr. Frank, W2WCW, Mr. Harvey, W8MPB, and the other Harvey, W8TGQ, Harrison, K4DAR, Mr. Dennis, KB2DYB, Mr. Eugene, KE2LO, and Mr. Mike, KI2J. It is my prayer for God to bless this great country. Dear Lord, please bless our soldiers, our sailors, our airmen, and thank each and every one of you for joining me tonight here on the Liberty Net. Appreciate it. This is Kilo Alpha 8, Julia, Ocean, Yankee, and I'll be clear.
Yeah, if I wanted to log in without having to check in audio-wise, do I go start logging on this net logger, and does it put me in?
No, what you want to, the way you did it was proper. You came in on, I see you're on the side there. If you start pushing those buttons, you'll end up trying to take it away from the actual controller, but it won't let you because then you don't have a password. So that stuff up there is for when people are actually the logger. You want to come in the way you did, and then I put you in. I saw that you were there. You radioed out, so then I put you in on line number 9.
Okay, I see that. Very good. I thank you for clearing that up. Have a nice night. WB2JAX73.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you for joining us. Have a good week. We'll see you on the weekend. WB2JAX-KJY.
JAJOI, November 2, Romeo, Romeo, Alpha.
November 2, Romeo, Romeo, Alpha. Mr. Eric.
Yes, sir. Good evening. How you doing, Bob? Was listening this evening. Great job as usual, as always. I received your envelope, and when you get the chance, please go ahead and visit my QRZ page and take a look down below, Roger.
All righty. I will do that. In fact, I'll do that here when we're done talking. I just put my QRZ page together.
Yeah, I see that. I thought to myself, I said, wait a minute, his page looks a little different. actually, I just pulled it up just now, and I did a little something for your son, so you'll read down below. But thank you so much for the letter. It gets stashed away with all my other QSL cards and stuff. We're going to get one out to you. I've got a bunch of new QSL cards being made. So, of course, all custom designed. And this one's going to be quite unique from most. So it ought to be pretty interesting. But you'll see when you get it. I don't want any spoiler alerts. So this will be a nice surprise. Anyway, with that being said, good to hear you. And like I said, great net. KAJOI and 2RRA.
All right. Well, I must have sent you the letter. So if you go to the end of my page, you'll see my QSL card. And I will sit down and address one to you when we're done talking.
Yeah, no, you sent me one as well. I got everything. I got a QSL card and a letter and some other stuff. So I got everything, Roger.
Okay. I didn't want to do a picture of my radio or the antenna, so I kind of went a different avenue.
Well, it was a good avenue. I liked it. As soon as I pulled it up, it was like, ooh, la, la, la. It's right up my alley. So, we enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm going to sit here and look at your page. I like the Don't Tread on Me. That's a pretty good photograph. So I figure I will. I'll go through this. Thank you very much.
Okay, Roger. Yeah, you'll see it down below. In the letter, in the envelope, yeah, commented on it. So, touched by the information. So we went ahead and we put it up there the other day. A day or two ago. But it looks like you did yours about a day or two ago, I think.
Yeah, I've been working on it probably for not quite 3 days. So I started messing around. Then I figured out how I could change the lettering. Then I kind of figured out how I could add the pictures. And I've saved it 24 times before I've got to what it is today.
I got an update.
Yeah, I think it was a contact. Well, it's looking great. I think it's a good layout. I like the way you did it. All right, let me stand by because I think there's a contact. A couple other guys want to get in there. N2RRA.
All righty, N2RRA. Larry, that sounds like you, N4ROQ.
Yeah, let me just put this in. Check here on Fox News. There's 60,000 Haitian migrants in a caravan heading to Texas to come across the border. 60,000, and Texas is preparing for the surge of 60,000 Haitian migrants. It's coming, going on the Fox News right now at this point.
Wow. And you know what? They're not going to be mandated to get the jab.
Well, actually...
That's right. Well, just wanted to let you know, that is something new that just came up here on the news. I thought everyone would like to hear that on the net, and thought I'd pass it on. Biden is really doing a great job of keeping them out. So, N4ROQ.
Actually, it's quite depressing to hear it. I don't know if you guys know or if it was mentioned before, but you know who else is not mandated to take the jab? The National Guard. National Guard's not mandated to take the jab until next year, May of 2022. Yet here in New York, I think they replaced many of the nurses and doctors that they fired with National Guard. So... They got rid of citizens, doctors, nurses, RNs, whatever, because they would not take the jab. But they replaced them with people who are not mandated to take the jab. So yeah, and there's no telling whether or not they did replace them with National Guards that actually took the jab. Either way, it makes no sense.
It does not make sense, and I think it's also interesting, the United States Postal Service is not required, but federal employees are.
Yeah, yeah, and if anybody is wondering if that is true, just ask any serviceman, any military personnel, who they'll tell you National Guard is not mandated to next year, so, you know.
Again, if you want to provide a thing called a vaccination, I understand through doctors, and have an NP daughter and a real smart possible coming up son-in-law. As long as you have a virus that is also shared to a animal host, which this COVID is, you'll never eradicate it. Just like the common cold, you'll never eradicate it. But, you know, don't tell me I have to take it. I've been exposed 3 times. I do a lot of proactive probiotics, prebiotics, zinc, vitamin D. My wife makes it have me take this mushroom crap. It's horrible. But I've not been sick, so I'm not going to take it, over.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know... I'm just disgusted. I get very frustrated. I try to clear my mind of it because it's, I think a lot of folks do a good job at being calm. And you know, I think for us younger guys, I think it's quite a bit more frustrating. You know, the fact that they're taking away our civil liberty and our human right away to make a choice, whether we want it or not. We know scientifically that... it does not stop transmission, so it does not stop or prevent what they said it would prevent, and what they designed it to do, it does not do. And yet they still want to go ahead and push it. But I think, first of all, if that wasn't bad enough, I think one of the most frustrating things is the fact that now we as parents are no longer also have a say in what they do with our children. I just watched a video which I saved, and it's of a African American black teacher. African-American teacher in a middle school, literally harassing, in the face, breathing in the face, yelling, belittling, berating, almost damn near assaulting a student. And this comes in light of the fact that the Board of Education has asked the Biden administration to get the FBI, or asked the DOJ. DOJ, you know, sent the FBI out. And now they want to possibly even implement the Patriot Act on parents who are upset. And then, and because of that, now you have teachers like this caught on video, literally in the face of a child, that basically abusing a minor, and a parent can no longer voice their opinion or, you know, be upset about it, or you know, threaten to have them arrested or whatever, because any action from the parent now could possibly lead to a Patriot Act charge, which we all know you can then swoop the parent away without any legal representation. As if things didn't seem to get any worse, it continues to get worse. And you know, talking about it and petitions, it just doesn't seem enough anymore. Now, maybe perhaps a little bit more patience, but the way I see it is that we will continue on the road that we've seen every other country continue, where, you know, people will protest, and they'll peaceful protest, and, you know, they'll get on their bullhorns, and this will be an every weekend thing, but it, nothing, as people continue to remain that way, you know, it's only going to get to a point where so much damage is done, and there's no return from it. And, you know, the government doesn't fear people who just peaceful protest or just write petitions. They take it, they rip it, they throw it out, they say they never got it, or maybe they'll, you know, downplay and say, well, there weren't enough names on the petition, how do you prove it, blah, blah, blah. Either way, we've seen so much corruption currently, there's not going to be any change. There isn't. And the only change that people do take notice to, and unfortunately, I said this years ago, I said this 2, 3, 4 years ago. The time when we had the federal government on our side was the time for us to respond with the amount of force and violence that they were implementing on peaceful citizens. And now that window is gone, and it could be, I don't know about you guys, I like to be optimistic, but there's not too much room for any more optimism, Roger.
No, it's kind of sad. You just kind of sit and wait. 2022 is a long way away. While these people are in that office, just destroying what looks like to me destroying this country. And thank you for that that part on your page. That's really really nice. Thank you.
Yeah, Roger. Well, I think. To be quite frank, the way I see this thing going, I see a nuclear war. Whether people want to admit it or not, or think that it cannot happen, I see one coming. My only prayer to God is that we don't do that. I'd much rather, you know, fight hand-to-hand combat. Let's do it ground to ground, land, air, sea. As long as those missiles ain't flying, it's all good. But you know, that's I guarantee that we'll be at war with China, if not by Christmas, sometime next year. I would say sometime by spring, summer next year. And that's just the way it's going to be. If they take Taiwan, we got guarantee we'll be in a war. And if that happens, well, perhaps. You know, perhaps the book of I'm not big of a biblical guy, but perhaps the book of Revelations was correct. Maybe Nostradamus was correct. We'll see what happens. But either way, it's not looking good.
Yep, it's not. And this this administration gave a lot of firepower to the Taliban, but they want your weapon. And they want your rifle. They don't want your handgun, even though the handgun is 3, 4, 5 times more murders by handgun. But the rifle is what would keep the American people at least have a fair advantage if we had to fight a tyrannous governor.
Comment.
I'll make one last comment here before the comment there. All I can say is I think the most powerful tool we have, and Ronald Reagan, our president, President Reagan, said it the best, that for us to save our country, it has to start at the dinner table. We are losing too many of our children, our grandchildren, to what's going on today. And we need to get a hold of them. I mean, and I've been saying this for a year or two. I feel like it's been gone to the wayside, and it's very critical and very important, is that it is our right, it is our obligation. We can't blame the system. We can't blame the Board of Ed or anything. If we as parents, or we as grandchildren, or uncles, aunts, you know, cousins, whatever, family members, if we don't take care of our own, protect our own, educate our own, and we allow them to, then we deserve every bit of spat back at us from these, you know, disrespectful young punk kids. You know, we deserve what's to come, and it's very important that we need to, at the dinner table, as much as you can, you call your grandchildren up, you call your nieces, your nephews, you get there, and you get talking to them now. Before they get corrupted in schools, before they get corrupted by social media, and you have to explain. It is no more trying to protect the young kids, okay? There's no more thinking they're not going to understand. These kids are understanding a lot more than you think by the age of 9 and 10 years of age. So you really need to begin to be real with them, the ugliness and the goodness of life, be honest. And square that away. Square that away, because they're growing up way too fast, and these people are really pushing, you know, communist propaganda into their heads. But we cannot blame them. We have to blame ourselves. So the only thing I could say is we need to get a hold of our kids and our family members before more damage is done. Go ahead, Tom.
The gentleman that said comment, go ahead.
K4BFR, I've been looking into a few things about some of these silly gun control crap they got going on. It's quite interesting. The firearms that are being used for home protection, rifle is only 1 in 100 incidents. And when you look at other things that are going on, for every one shooting, you see a bad guy shooting a good guy, or a bad guy shooting a civilian, however you want to say it. There are over 100 self-defense uses for firearms for each one bad guy with a firearm. 95% of those is a simple brandish the firearm. Show the bad guy you've got a gun. They either give up and run, or they drop to their knees and beg for help. As far as death by firearm from good guy to bad guy, out of every 100 incidents, only 1 in 100 results in the bad guy being killed. Their gun control arguments are a bunch of garbage to start with. And then we have the rhinos out there like Dan Crenshaw that are actually pushing for the red flag orders to go through.
Yeah, I'll comment on that real quick. I want to debunk the whole, myth of bad guys and what guns they use. Listen, our gun issue in America is not the guns, okay? Yeah, you're going to have your usual, the situation here, there, you know, the gun issues. Our highest concentration of gun problems in America is a cultural thing, okay? And people are too afraid to say it, okay? We talk too much. I think we leave the elephant in the room out of discussions, unfortunately, and I get it. Maybe it's easier for me to say things like this, but at the end of the day, the problem is culture, okay? It's urban African-American culture, period, okay? That's where the majority, you know, they talk so much about mass gun violence, okay, mass murders. There is no other place in the entire country other than in African-American urban city neighborhoods and communities where the most mass shootings occur, period. And it has nothing to do with the firearm. It has everything to do with culture and upbringing, period. And people aren't addressing it. But people are too afraid to address it. But I, you know, in concern that they may be looked upon as racist. But the bottom line is that that is a tactic to keep you from discussing the elephant in the room. And that is the elephant in the room, period. So, and if anybody wants to argue it, you could say, okay, all right. So, you know, they'll bring up, oh, Sandy Hook and the Vegas shooter. Okay, when did those occur? How much in between did those events occur? At the end of the day, you know, between Sandy Hook and the Las Vegas shooter, you put those two together. It don't even come close to one weekend or one day in an urban city area and most Democratic states. So at the end of the day, you want to talk about what the real issue and problem is. Forget about the type of firearm being sold, how they got the firearm. No, the problem is culture. You know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, you could drive around with a shotgun and a rifle on your gun rack in your pickup with your doors unlocked. There ain't no kid or anybody going to go and grab that sucker, right? Nowadays, you know, people lack of respect, lack of decency, you know, the whole nine yards. So at the end of the day, it's a cultural thing. It's not a gun thing.
Yeah, we already have laws that make it illegal to take someone else's life and call it murder or homicide. You're right. It's just the tool that they're using. Compared rifles to knife stabbing, three times as many people are stabbed in America in 2020 with knives and sharp objects than were shot with rifles.
Well, if you take the gun confiscation during the gun buyback, well, they called it a gun buyback, but then they confiscated whatever remaining guns they were in Australia. That was in the 80s. I think it was 84 or 89, somewhere in the mid to late 80s when they did that. Okay, the argument was, well, you know, crime would go down. Crime didn't go down. It only spiked for the next 20 years after that. And then what was the end result? For that, well, the end result was legal, law-abiding citizens that no longer had firearms in their homes. Only the bad guys had it, and so the bad guys. I remember. I mean, I lived through it. I watched it. I observed it. I kept in tune with it. Well, probably most Americans fell asleep on it, and so you know, crime spiked, and a lot of the other than the bad guys having some guns, a lot of them wound up resorting to knives. Same thing in the UK. Most of the violent offenses in the UK and murders are done with knives. So if it's not going to be done with guns, it's going to be done with a knife. It could be a club. It could be a Lucy from Walking Dead. Okay, a bat with barbed wire on it. That's the next thing they're going to use. Either way, the criminal's going to, if they want to murder someone, they're going to murder someone with any weapon they could get their hands on. And that's going to be a knife or a bat or something like that. So, you know, at the end, the end result, and I think we already know this, I don't even have to discuss, you know, mention it, but by disarming the Republic only leads us to oppression and slavery. You know, we'll be no different in Cuba, no different in Australia, what's going on over there, which is sad, sickening to see what's going on with those people. We'll be no different than North Korea and Cuba. So God help us all.
Evil is still going to be there. That's the part we have to correct, is that evil motive. So, all righty, gentlemen. Well, thank you. I'm going to button it up for the night, and I got a few things to tidy up and call it an evening.
All right, Bob. Have a good night. Great job as usual. All the best, and God bless America. From N2RRA, 73.
Thank you. N2RRA and K4BFR, KHOI will be clear.